the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And so let's go to what hopefully will be one of the sporting events of the year. Certainly what lots of sport fans will spend their weekend in front of the television watching the Masters. Can Rory McIlroy become only the fourth man in sporting history, the first since Tiger Woods in 2002 to successfully defend the green jacket? Fortunate enough to be in Augusta, Georgia, is Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie. Although, Gavin, I wonder, can anything match the final day of last year's event, the drama of Rory McIlroy finally winning the Masters?
No, Matt, unfortunately, I don't think it will ever be as good as last year. And I think McIlroy knows that as well. Because he did, you know, even in the aftermath of winning the Masters, there was much giddy talk that, you know, he was playing with house money. That was his phrase, that the burden of chasing the Grand Slam and even the first major title in 11 years would free him to go on and win so many more. He, in fact, was not liberated. He looked exhausted and a guy almost in the grip of an existential crisis at the majors later on that year, later admitting that he had climbed his Everest, so he wasn't really sure where to go. Now, he has reset his goals, he said, and he has more things that he would like to achieve in the game, but certainly nothing, I don't think, will be a long time waiting for any Masters final round to meet the drama and the ups and downs of last year. And then when you put it into an Irish context, it seems almost impossible that anything will be like that again. But McIlroy is back here, he's defending champion, he's very much enjoying the perks of being a champion here, the obligations that go with it, and he insists that his competitive edge has not been dulled, and he's very much raring to go to, as you say, become only the fourth man to defend his green jacket.
We had Alan Chipnook with us last week about his terrific new biography on Rory McIlroy. We were talking about how maybe the Irish Open was a tipping point for Rory McIlroy, that he got his mojo back again and then carried that into the Ryder Cup. But is there a danger that, okay, now he's got the burden of having to chase down the Masters off his back, that is a release, but that all of the stuff that he's been doing as defending champion in recent days, such as the Masters dinner and all of those things, has actually perhaps maybe relaxed him too much or distracted him from the task at hand?
It is interesting, and you know, when, as you alluded to in your opening question, Matt, it's so hard to defend this title. Only three players have ever done it. And in the last 10 years, only two defending champions have even finished within the top 10. Of their defense. And one of the reasons for that is that there are so many distractions and obligations as a champion here. And McIlroy has been determined to enjoy them. And in fairness, you wouldn't begrudge him. You know, there was an interesting moment in the new Amazon Prime documentary on Rory's Masters win, in which his father, Jerry, is interviewed and says that, I know Rory like the back of my hand. And in the weeks leading up to Augusta, he wasn't himself. He'd be edgy and jumpy. It was a little like, you know, the rest of us when we have a work deadline or a doctor's appointment looming. That was, you know, up until this year, that was McIlroy's lead in and mindset to the Masters. Obviously, very different this year. He said at his press conference yesterday, up to now, you know, he couldn't wait for the tournament to start on Thursday, whereas this year he wouldn't mind if it never started. So he's been here much earlier than he would usually be. He's been at the Augusta National Women's Amateur Competition on Saturday. He was doing some prize giving for the kids' competition they have here on Sunday. He's been enjoying it all. He obviously put a lot of time and thought into his menu and his speech at last night's Champions Dinner. So maybe that will rob him of a bit of energy and a bit of motivation. But at the same time, Matt, we've seen him out on the range and out on the course practicing. He looks fantastic. And the only thing is, the only bit of baggage around here he's got left is on the shoulder of his caddy. So he's never going to feel more comfortable around here. He's never going to swing more freely. So if we can make a hot start on Thursday, you know, a Masters defense for McIlroy would definitely be on.
Is he physically fit enough, though? Wasn't he absent from some recent tournaments because of a back injury?
Yeah, so he withdrew from the Arnold Palmer Invitational with a back spasm. He did play the following week at the Players' Championship, but, you know, with no practice, was rusty and struggled and hasn't played since. He insists he's feeling well and fit and ready to go. He's been practicing at home and then coming up for recce to Augusta over the last two or three weeks. And on the range, he's hit more than 100 balls on the range. He's only, you know, we can see all the stats for how far people are driving it here now, and only three players in the field have driven it further than him on the range this week. So he insists he's physically ready to go. He looks ready to go. So it seems like there aren't any physical questions, at least.
How much attention is on him as well, not just as defending champion, but as one of the superstars of the game, given that neither Tiger Woods nor Phil Mickelson are there?
He is the guy, right? I mean, without Woods and Mickelson, it's the first time since 1994 that the Masters hasn't had either of those guys in the field. And while Americans like Bryson DeChambeau and especially Scottie Scheffler inspire big followings around here, McIlroy remains the star. He is the magnet to whom all the crowds are drawn. He's been getting up early, getting out for practice rounds from 7:30 a.m. to the first moment they let the players on the course. The reason he does all that stuff early is to try and get around with as few crowds as possible. But they're impossible to ignore. He is the star here. And whereas you'll go to other majors in the U.S. and obviously the Ryder Cup in the U.S., where Bryson or Scheffler will have the lion's share of the crowd, Rory is the favourite around here. And I think it's a status he very much enjoys.
For those who may not follow golf avidly or who maybe only take an interest in it because of the Rory McIlroy phenomenon, what is it about the Masters that makes it the major of all the four majors?
I think it's the fact that it comes back to the same place every year. And I actually think it's to do with its place in the calendar as well. I mean, the major season now ends in July with the Open Championship. It's a long, long wait for the next one to come around. So that makes it the most anticipated event of the year. And the fact that it comes back to the same place every year, it's the only major to do so, means that it's obviously much easier for the fans to get dialed into it and relate to it because they know all the holes. They know, you know, what's a good shot, where you need to land your shot, where it's a terrible place to miss it. And the history just builds up and up and up. You know, like each of the holes has its own story and its own ghosts. Like number 12, an Amen Corner, over that short par 3 over the water, one of the most famous holes in golf, because anytime anyone stands over it, everyone is thinking of when Jordan Spieth should have defended his title in 2016 and inexplicably went into the water twice. If you're ever lucky enough to come here, you'll see patrons standing in the pine straw trying to mimic or simulate, you know, Bubba Watson's famous shot into 10 to win the playoff when he won it. There's people coming around in kind of quasi-pilgrimage looking, pointing out to the spot on 15 where McIlroy hit that magic shot of a lifetime, as it was called in commentary, in the closing holes on Sunday. So I think it's just that accumulation of history and tradition and past shots and past moments and the long wait for the Masters to come around. And then there is the other element of the exclusivity of the place, how incredible it looks, how unique it is that when patrons, as we must call them rather than fans, are allowed to attend here. Nobody is allowed their phone on the course, which really takes, you know, everybody kind of quite literally parks all their concerns and worries and everything in the gate, and everyone is just here and determined to have a good time. So when you add all that up, I think it's a unique offering in sport. And I know it can be cloying to people and can be a bit insufferable to people at times, but it always, regardless of what you think of it, the drama on Sunday is utterly compelling.
Of course, we hope Rory McIlroy is right in the thick of it on Sunday. Last year, Shane Lowry went into the last day with a chance and had a miserable day. He's been in and out of form recently. He perhaps, you know, missed an opportunity to win one of the big US PGA tournaments already this year. What are the hopes for Shane Lowry? Should they be significant?
I don't think so, Matt. A little bit understated, it seems. He's not coming in with a huge amount of momentum. As you say, he let slip two big chances to win tournaments this year at the start of the year in Dubai, and then the Cognizant Classic on the PGA Tour, which he had, I think it was a 2, maybe even a 3-shot lead going into the 16th hole. He double bogeyed it and double bogeyed 17 as well, going into the water twice to just blow up. He described it this week as a disaster, and then he went on to miss cuts at his following two tournaments. He's clinging to a good performance at the Houston stop on the PGA Tour prior to this. So for Lowry, like, his game is technically good enough to contend around here. I mean, he's turned himself into one of the most elite and consistent ball strikers on the tour. The questions are whether his putter is going to be consistent enough. He's a very streaky putter in his own words. But if that hots up, then the last remaining challenge for Lowry is mental. And, you know, it seems harsh to say that this guy can't get it done under pressure when he holed a putt to retain the Ryder Cup and won the Open Championship in 2019. But as this year has shown, he has had repeated struggles to close out tournaments which he should win as an individual. So, you know, he has to answer, he's to respond to that challenge down the stretch on Sunday if he's able to put himself into a position. And like you say, with all the kind of the absurd melodrama around Rory last year, we do forget that Lowry had a good, his first three rounds were really good, put himself in a position to win this tournament, and then just went out and shot an 81 playing along with Scottie Scheffler on Sunday and just, you know, kind of limped home really. And that would be pretty painful for him. So he says he's feeling good and ready to make a run for it. Says he needs to learn acceptance around here, basically not to get too frustrated when he hits a good shot and he's not rewarded for it. We've seen him get visibly and audibly frustrated at major events over the last year. So if he can keep a lid on his frustration, if he can hold a few putts, he can put himself in contention. And then like McIlroy, he'll have a mental challenge to respond to. And he'll only know if he's able to do it, like McIlroy, after he's gone and done it.
Okay, Rory will begin tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 Irish time. And then very conveniently for those of us watching on television Friday night, he goes out at 6:45. He's with Cameron Young and with an American amateur called Mason Howell. Shane Lowry is going out with Dustin Johnson and Jason Day tomorrow at just before 2:45, and then going out just before 6:00 on Friday. If we're not watching for the Irish lads, and of course there's also Tom McKibben, who do you think are the likely contenders? Is it Scottie Scheffler having won in 22 and 24? Bryson DeChambeau? Who else would you look at?
Yeah, Scheffler is an obvious one. John Rahm is another obvious one as well. He's been playing well on LIV. Now, attach massive caveats to that, but he's only been outside the top two once on the LIV Tour this year, albeit in a very, very shallow pool of competitors. He's obviously a previous winner here in 2023. Other names worth looking out for, I think, is Ludvig Åberg, the Swedish superstar. He's obviously, we know him from the European Ryder Cup team. He's got a really good record around Augusta. He's played here twice and been in the top 10 twice. He should have won the Players' Championship a few weeks ago and then blew up on, I think it was the 11th hole, and went into the water. So whether that's indicative of a guy with scar tissue who can't close it and get it over the line, or whether it's merely the kind of learning experience everyone has to go through before they win, we might see this week. So I quite like Ludvig Åberg. And another European to watch out for is Matt Fitzpatrick, the English player, in terrific form over the last few months, beat McIlroy in the final event on the European Tour, was close to winning the Players' Championship, and then followed it up with a win the week afterwards. So Matt Fitzpatrick, Ludvig Åberg, there's kind of names slightly further down the betting list to look out for. But obviously the big guys, Scheffler, Rahm, McIlroy, should all contend. And the other thing to note, Matt, is that there is no rain in the forecast here this week for the first time in yonks. So the course is going to be firm, it's going to be fast, and the firmer and faster that it is, the more difficult it is, and the more difficult it is, generally the cream will rise to the top.
Thank you very much. Gavin Cooney from the42.ie.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.